Turn again this morning to Elijah and to 1 Kings chapter 17 and to look at verses 1 to 16 together. Well, we've been introduced to Elijah, and perhaps you're here this morning for the first time, or maybe visiting us, and we can't go back over everything we've learned, but we have been introduced to Elijah, and we found out three things about him. That Elijah was a man who lived in times just like ours. That's the connection we have. It's why we study the Word of God. It's not just past history, it's not just an academic exercise. Here is the living Word of God. And here are the times of Elijah, and they are times just like ours. So there's much for us to learn about those times. And then we learned, secondly, that Elijah was a man who had a nature just like ours. He had feelings, deep feelings about his times. He was deeply concerned about the times in which he lived. And you know, the more we speak to people, the more we read our newspapers and see how this terrible economic and financial collapse has happened in this world and how it's affecting people and other things, we realise that people feel very deeply, and as Christians we should feel deeply about the situation in which we are in and the world in which we're in and the needs of people. And Elijah was a man with deep passions, feelings. And then thirdly, we learned that Elijah had a great God, just like ours. God has not changed. The God of Elijah, as he strode into that palace of King Ahab, he said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand." The same God, we stand before that same God today, the living God. There's the connection with Elijah. And A.W. Pink has written that wonderful book about Elijah. He said, "It is truly saddening to contemplate the awful conditions which then prevailed. Every light had been extinguished. Every voice of divine testimony was hushed. Spiritual death was spread over everything. And it looked as if Satan had indeed obtained mastery of the situation." And we look at our spiritual state as a nation, and people around us today, and it seems, doesn't it, that Satan's had the mastery. But here is the living God who brings onto the stage at that time a man called Elijah. Now, we're never going to be the same as Elijah, but there must be those things within us which are like Elijah. For surely God has given us this example that we might see it and say that there is something about Elijah that we must be. And we saw last week that God calls us to three difficult things, and they're exampled, they're shown to us in Elijah. He calls us to pray, and we read that Elijah prayed. He calls us to confess, and we read that Elijah confessed his faith in the living God and in his word, even before the most wicked king in the then known world, King Ahab, and his wicked queen Jezebel. And then thirdly, to depend. And we said these three things are hard. They're difficult things God calls us to do. To pray, to confess, and to depend. And we spent some time last week on the first two of those, praying firstly, effectively, fervently, and from a life that is right with God, and confessing God in the place where God has put us. It may not be in a palace, very doubtful whether it will be, but in the workplace, in our families, the open air, in the schools, wherever it may be that God places us, we are to live before God, and when that opportunity comes, to be so in touch with the living God in our lives that we can readily speak for him. Well, then we came to that third thing, and we just mentioned it last week, and we're going to spend this morning on it. That subject of dependence. dependence upon God. These three things, prayer and confession, and now dependence. You see, it's really James, isn't it, who gives us the detail on prayer. And it's only a little bit that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, and he prayed. And we thought about the prayer of Elijah, and we're going to see a lot more about Elijah's prayers as we go on. But we just put that aside for a moment. And then we thought about confession. And there's just verse 1 here of Elijah's confession, what he says before King Ahab. Just one verse. So we just put that aside for a moment. And then we look at the rest of this passage, verse 2 to verse 16. What is it all about? And it seems to me that it's all about dependence. And here is a great lesson for us as Christians, that we are to be dependent people. People who depend on God. What is dependence upon God? Well, by way of introduction, just one or two things. You can often define something, can't you, by saying, well, what's the opposite of it? What is the opposite of dependence? Independence. And as a Christian, we are to live dependent on God, not independent from God. Now, the world today preaches independence. They're building up some flats up near us in Littleover, and it says in big letters outside there, for independent living. I thought, well, that's what the world says, isn't it? Independence. Children want to get their independence and leave home, get away from mum and dad. We want to be independent physically and mentally and educationally. We preach independence, don't we? Standing on your own two feet, making your own way in life. That's a great philosophy that the world preaches. Now you see, we come against that subject of living in a different way. Direction of the world this way, direction of the Christian the other way. Opposite directional living, for the Christian must be one who is dependent upon God, not independent from God. Let me give you another help as to what we mean by dependence. And it's that hymn that we sang. I don't know whether you've ever purchased a hymn book. You have a hymn book at home. I would recommend that you do. Because a hymn book is a great devotional help. And hear this lovely hymn by this man, Horatius Bonham. What is independent? What is dependence upon God? Thy way, not mine. However dark it be, lead me by thine own hand. Choose out the path for me. You see, that's not independence, that's God dependence. I dare not choose my lot. I would not if I might. Choose thou for me, my God. So shall I walk aright. You see, the Christian is somebody who is so different from the world, because the Christian is saying, not my way anymore, but God's way. And that God's way is best. Not mine. Not mine the choice. In things great or small, be thou my guide, my strength, my wisdom, and my all. God-dependent living. And then, of course, we think of our text for this year. For those of you who are visiting us, we have a text we've said really is a motto text for this year, Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the Christian says, my God first. He knows my need. He has great riches. They'll never run out. They'll never be exhausted. My God will supply all my need. So I will depend upon him. Now when we come then to Elijah, we come to a great example of such living. Living where Elijah has said, not my way, Lord, but your way. I'll have to depend upon you entirely, completely. And in the narrative here, we have this true account, those things that happened to Elijah, year 868 BC or somewhere around about that, these real things that happened, is the example of the believer living dependently upon God. Now there are many lessons here. The lessons in this passage, they tumble out. It's incredible how much there is. But I want to look with you this morning just at three things, three aspects of this subject of dependence upon God. And the first is that Elijah has a dependence upon the Word of God. And that's what we should have too, a dependence upon the Word of God. You see, when we say we must live lives of dependence upon God, what does that mean? How are we to work that out? Well, here we see Elijah dependent upon the Word of God. Look at verse 1. Let's read it together. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word." And we've said, haven't we? We've visualized what that must have been like for Elijah, this man whose very name means the Lord is my God, or God, Jehovah is my God, walking into that palace, saying those words and turning to walk out again. What now? What's going to happen now? If you were making a film or a television series, of course you'd stop it at that point, wouldn't you? The credits would roll and it would say, next week, tune in. Our son Steve, he got very much into The Lord of the Rings and he took me to see the films. 9 hours of them. You go to the first one, 3 hours. And if you've seen the film or you've got the DVD, well, you've got to have a lot of time spared to see them. But if you do, you'll find that after 3 hours, it suddenly stops. And you think, well, the story's not ended. And it was a whole year before the next film was made. You had to wait all that time. Well, here at the end of verse 1, we don't have to wait a year. We don't have to wait any time at all, do we? What do we see straight away? Then. Then the word of the Lord came. Then. What had brought Elijah to this point? Well, his deep concern. His deep feelings had brought him to this point because he was deeply concerned about the spiritual state of the people and the nation and the king. And he was concerned about the honour and glory of God, and that had brought him to this point, really, hadn't it? And prayer had brought him to this point because we know that he prayed. He prayed based upon the word of God. He knew that in Deuteronomy chapter 11 verses 16 and 17, as we saw last week, there were those words where God had said, if you go my way and follow my commands, I will bless you as a people. But if you go away from me, and if you disobey my commands, and if you go your own way, that independent way, then there will be times when I will cease to bring rain upon you, and dew, and water, and that life-giving rain that without it, there'd be drought and death. And I'll show you, and I'll prove to you that these things will be. And Elijah had seen that in God's word, and he prayed based upon that, and there was now no rain falling in Israel, and no dew. And so it was his prayer and his passion that had brought him to this point. But wasn't it the word of God that had brought him to this point too? You see, he says to the king, he says, there'll be no rain or dew these years except at my word. Whose word? Well, Elijah's word, in a way, yes, but it's God's word, isn't it? It's God who had said there would be no rain, and his dependence upon God was a dependence upon his word, that his word was true. That what God said, he meant and was true and would happen. And now he's cast upon God. He's walking out of this great king's palace. His life surely is in danger. How dare he come before the king with such a word? Flying in the face of the religion of, that Ahab and Jezebel had introduced, the religion of Baal and the worship of many gods. And he'd had the temerity to stand up for the old religion, as it were, to stand up for God. Now what would happen to him? Then the word of the Lord came to him. Elijah had been dependent upon God's word to that point, and was dependent upon God's word from this point. And then we read the story. We read how he goes out and he stays by this brook which flows into the river Jordan until it runs out. And in verse 8, then the word of the Lord came to him. And then in chapter 18 and verse 1, after the events of chapter 17 are completed, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, 3 years later. Again, the word of God came to him. And then in chapter 19, if you just turn over the page of your Bibles, in chapter 19 and verse 9. And Elijah's in a very different circumstances here, and we'll come to this eventually. But there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And in chapter 19 and verse 11, then he said, who said? God said, go out and stand on the mountain. And in chapter 19 and verse 15, then the Lord said to him. At every stage in the example of Elijah is the word of God. And Elijah is dependent upon it. In every change, in every move forward, in every event in his life, the word of God. Now, of course, we're looking at the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, God had not completed his revelation. It's what we call this book, the revelation of God. God revealing himself from the very first page to the last page. And by this time, only this part had been fulfilled and had been given. And God communicates his word to Elijah directly, impressing it upon his mind, speaking to him, as it were, in his ear, hearing the word of God in that way. But the word of God is now complete. This is the complete canon of Scripture, from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22. God has given us his word. His complete word. And so God speaks to us through his word, through the Bible. We do not therefore seek that direct revelation. In fact, we can be very misled by thinking we're hearing God speaking words to us. There are those who tell us that they hear these things today. Well, we don't find that in accordance with God's word. God said that he's completed his word. We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. Here is the word of God. And so when we say this morning that Elijah was dependent upon the word of God, and so must we be, it is this word. We love books about the word of God. And commentaries are helpful. And life stories of Christians of the past can be so inspirational and helpful. But it's the word of God on which we depend. We depend. Elijah was dependent upon it, and so are we dependent upon it. You know, dependence is attached to, joined to, obedience. Because the word of God comes to Elijah. Now, what is he to do with it? the word of the Lord may be very clear to you. You may read it and it may be very clear and plain to you. You may hear it preached and it may be very clear to you. And as Andrew was saying to us last Sunday evening, it might maybe like a hammer that's breaking the rocks in pieces. But you've got to obey the word of God to really depend upon the word of God. And so we read in chapter 17, verse 2 and 3, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, 'Get away from here, and turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you will drink from the brook that I have commanded, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there.'" And then verse 5, "So he went and did according to what? To his independent thought, to his decision making, to the way that he thought might be the best? No, according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, exactly where God had told him to go." And Spurgeon says, "Faith and obedience are bound up in the same bundle. He that obeys God trusts God, and he that trusts God obeys God." Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Dependence upon God is dependence upon the word of God. And you know, God has given us a book here which is most amazing. You know, in this book there are clear commands. You cannot misunderstand a command. There are instructions. There are examples. There are precepts and principles. Things are shown to us in one way and then in another way. For example, we're told, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Now that's clear, isn't it? That's clear instruction. Well, here is example. Here is Elijah's example. And so very often it's example, isn't it, that shows us, I see now what you mean. Somebody might explain some complex thing to us, and complex thing they're doing at work, and it's full of technicalities, and I'm not very good on technicalities and that sort of thing, and so I might sort of nod a bit and sort of that's interesting. But isn't it better if somebody says, "Look, let me show you one"? I see. Isn't that what Elijah is for us? The example of dependence upon the word of God. Now, you can't be a dependent Christian unless you read it. Can you? It's obvious. So how much do we read it? You can't be a dependent Christian unless we hear it preached. And we have a privilege in this church that God speaks through his word, as he does to each church, week by week. So we seek to be here at every occasion when God comes. And it's his way, isn't it, to use his word as it is preached to speak to each one of us. So we can be sitting here and know that God is speaking to us about some subject in our lives, and yet the person sitting next to us, God is impressing upon them something quite different. But that's the wonder of God's word. It's a living word, and it's a word for living. The living word of God. So here is Elijah. a man dependent upon God, the Word of God. Secondly, here is Elijah, a man living a dependent life, dependent upon the way of God, the way of God. Verse 3, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Here is God's way out of this situation, this very dangerous situation that Elijah was really in. God's way forward. Clearly God showed it to Elijah through his word, but God showed the way. Now in a sense, Elijah had no choice, did he? He was cast upon God. What else could he do? God said to him, go this way. Well, Elijah would not, I don't think, know that area well. He was a man from Gilead, a Tishbite, from the other side of the River Jordan, maybe 40 miles or so away from Samaria where he'd come. Would he know the area? Would he know where he's going? Maybe, but I don't think so. He was going God's way. It was an unknown way, but it was God's way. He was dependent upon God. And so many times, you know, we're cast upon God. We haven't really got any choice. Last night I was emailing backwards and forwards with Robert Baghurst. And I was just reminded of Robert and Rosemary. Do you remember that time in Liberia when all of a sudden things turned against them? And the rebel forces came in, and Robert went one way and Rosemary and the children the other way, and news spread, didn't it, of their capture, and some great fear and concern about their welfare and their safety. They were cast upon God. What could they do? They could only pray and God to lead them, and God led them out of that situation and to safety in a wonderful way. I think about situations that have happened in my life. I remember there was a big debate at work in the office about would the company that I was with keep the Worcester office open or the Cheltenham office open? And it was a debate. It was going to be one or the other. And I was concerned because I was running the Worcester office and there was another man running the Cheltenham office, and we knew that one of us would lose our job. And I remember when that news came, it was my office that was going to close. Gone. No job. We're cast upon God. And sometimes those things happen. We have no choice. We have to say, Lord, what way now? What's going to happen now? It's where we say, isn't it, thy way, not mine, O Lord. I don't know which way now. And the Christian knows that God holds the key of all unknown. And we're so glad because we know that God leads his people all the way. My Saviour leads me. What about you this morning? Maybe you've come into church this morning and maybe all these things are a bit of a mystery to you. Maybe you're saying, well, you seem to have a confidence that I don't have. Well, we have a confidence in the living God, not ourselves. In the Word of God, and a confidence that God cares for his people and guides them in things small and great. And here is Elijah, the example of a man dependent upon the Word of God, saying to him, go this way, and knowing that that way is the right way. Now it gets harder, doesn't it, when we have choices? Isn't that the hardest thing? When there's this way or that way. And we are uncertain. And God doesn't treat us like robots. God doesn't treat his children like puppets. That's a caricature that some have of Christians. We are left with choices and changes like all other people. And situations at work change, and redundancies come, and difficulties come, and changes come. What do we do? Well, we spread it out before the Lord. the God who guides, the God of his word. And we seek him in his word, and we seek the way of God. And sometimes it's not all that clear, and sometimes we have doubts. I wonder about Elijah. When Elijah went down to this little brook, Cherith, the word Cherith, it just means cut. It means like a little cut or a nick. And so it was a tiny little brook. It was only a little brook in a little valley hidden away somewhere. And Elijah went there. Are you sure this is the right place? And then God said to him, ravens will bring you food in the morning and in the evening. Are you sure? Can that be right? Will that really happen? Will God really be with me? And then the brook begins to dry up. Is this really the way? Have I come the right way? And in our lives, we sometimes look at our lives and our situation and we wonder, is this right? Am I in the right place? Is this really right? And as the brook ran dry, God's word came to him and said to him, you've got to go to Zarephath. Zarephath, 100 miles away. 100 miles away. Far out of Israel, even out of his own country. And to a widow. And when he came to the widow woman was gathering sticks just to get the last meal together. And I'm sure Elijah would have said, are you sure it's this way? Is this really the right way? And sometimes we wonder, don't we? Anne won't thank me for telling you this story, but when we moved to Derby 30 years ago or so, when we drove up the motorway every day, we were commuting up from Leicester. She cried every day because she didn't want to come. But not all that long later, my job situation turned very suddenly and we were summoned back again to Leicester. And Anne came down to the office on that particular day and I told her. And she stamped around the office and she said, that can't be right! You see, we sometimes wonder, don't we, about God's way. But we go trusting, we go praying, we go seeking, we go trembling sometimes, we go wondering, but we seek to go God's way. And sometimes we stamp our feet and we say, that can't be right. But God shows us, doesn't he? As time goes on, yes, this is the way. Keep walking in it. It's like Katharina von Schegel, her hymn, leave God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has thy past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. You see, sometimes as Christians we're called to go just simply day by day, trusting and obeying. Elijah went down to the brook and there, miraculously, wonderfully, he was supplied. And we'll see more of that next week. But there by that brook, he must have wondered at times, are you sure this is right? God kept him there, didn't he? We don't know exactly how long. But what was God doing? What was God doing with Elijah? Well, I think he was doing three things. And this is what he does with you and me. Firstly, he was hiding him. Look at verse 3. Get away from here, turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith. God was hiding him there. Safe from harm, safe from danger, safe from the pursuit of the wicked King Ahab and his queen Jezebel, hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand. Never foe can follow, never traitor stand. We must trust him fully, all for us to do. Those who trust him wholly find him wholly true. And God takes his children and he hides them in his hand. He keeps them in that place of power where he will preserve them and protect them. As we go on in our lives, we sometimes wonder, has God left me? What's going to happen next? How long will I have to wait to know the way forward from here? Oh, Elijah, go to the place where I will hide you and keep you and preserve you. Where are you in your life this morning? Do you know and understand that preserving, keeping, hiding of God? And secondly, he was refining him. He was refining him. This place to which he took him after the brook dried up was Zarephath. And the word Zarephath, it means smelting. It means refining. And clearly the little town was called that because there was a smelting plant. Some metal was smelted there, whether it be iron or copper or something of that nature, where the plant was there to smelt it. And you know what happens? The metal is heated up until it is boiling, until it is melted, and then they scrape off all the dross off of the top, and you can then look in at the molten metal and it's perfect, and you can see your face in it, because everything that's an impurity has all come to the top, and it's scraped off and removed. And why does God take Elijah? Surely isn't there better things that God could do with him than take him to a little brook somewhere in the middle of nowhere, or take him to this town 100 miles away from Samaria, far outside the reach of where his great mission could possibly be? Why does God do that and give him all those months and months there, 3 years? It doesn't seem to do anything with him. You know, sometimes we can ask in our lives, what is God doing in my life? I'm not sure whether what God is doing is... Well, we can be very questioning of God, but what is God doing? Well, he's hiding us. He's keeping us. He'll never let you go. And he's refining us. He's refining Elijah. He is not only keeping him, but he's giving him to understand more and more of what it is to trust and to depend and rely upon God and wait his time. And he's preparing him. He's preparing him. Nothing's wasted, you know. God never wastes time. He never wastes his time, and he never wastes your time. God is working out his purposes as year succeeds to year. And he is working out his purposes in the life of all his people. And he is preparing them. And he was preparing Elijah for a great work for him yet to be revealed. And God is preparing you for tomorrow. Even today, you know. Today is God's preparation day for tomorrow. Don't waste it. Look to him and say, Lord, what are you preparing me for? Help me to learn. Help me to understand. Oh, you're hiding me, keeping me, refining me, preparing me. Help me to be faithful, to trust and obey, and to wait your time. For what will tomorrow bring? We do not know. You do not know what tomorrow might bring. Tomorrow might bring an opportunity to speak for God. Tomorrow might bring a tragedy. A deep sadness, a great change. But be sure of this, that God isn't wasting time with you today. He is preparing you for the tomorrow that he has for you. And that's what he was doing with Elijah. He was hiding him, refining him, preparing him. You see, this is dependence upon God. Depending upon his word, depending upon his way. And then thirdly, and we'll leave this really till next week, depending upon his timing. You see, the first word after verse 1 is then. And the first word after verse 7 is then. You know what we want? We want it all. We want it now. Don't we? We want to know. We want to know the future. We want to know what's going to happen next. I sat at the end of that film and the lights came on. I said to Steve, what happens now? He said, well, we've got to go home. We've got to wait a year to make the next film unless you want to read the book. We often say, don't we, Lord, what now? You've had a great change in your life, a new job, new situation. Things have happened. Things are happening. Things may happen tomorrow. But what then? We want to know what now, what next, when? We want it all. We want it now. And God kept Elijah by this little brook. And only when it dried up, then, God's timing is best. We wait his timing. We depend upon his way. And we look to his word. We are not those who are independent of God, but dependent upon God. Let me ask you, what's your life based on? What is your life based on? What is your foundation? Will it stand? Will it collapse? Yesterday, we were out taking Beth off to an interview and we had to wait for quite a long time. I read the financial paper all the way through. It's all collapsed. Many people are saying, what now? What now? Only the Christian can say, God holds the key of all unknown, and I am glad. If other hands held the key, or if he trusted it to me, what then? I might be sad. I know this, that God's way is best. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful example of Elijah. We thank you, Lord, that here we see this man dependent upon God, dependent upon his word, and dependent upon his way, and prepared to wait for God's time. Oh Lord, we ask that you would give us that same dependence upon the same God today. We pray, Lord, for those again who have known great changes in their lives just recently, particularly sadness and tragedy and loss. And Lord, we lift them up to you and pray for your help, that they might know that your way is best and to trust you in all things. So bless us, Lord, we pray. We ask these things for Jesus' sake.